Hi, this is Dwayne Berlin from the Las Vegas Hotel Advice.com, and I've got a special guest today with me, Allison Kopening, who works in public relations at the Springs Preserve just outside of Las Vegas. Actually, that's not quite true, is it, Allison?
No, it's actually it's in the center of Las Vegas, just a little bit off of the Strip and downtown Las Vegas.
Well, that's why I got you here with me today to straighten me out on that fact. Actually, you're only about 3 miles from downtown, right?
That's correct.
All right. So it's really easy to get to and all that.
Very.
And, So I was going through your website, and I found a lot of really interesting things on there. It looks like it's family-oriented and things to do for pretty well anybody. I was really impressed with the site. I thought it was just fantastic. I noticed there's a high bandwidth and a low bandwidth access to it, so you know, so even somebody with dial-up can have a look around easily.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of photographs and even some video in there. So, but anyway, it's a fantastic, fantastic looking website.
Thank you.
And so that's one of the reasons I called you, is because I'm going to go out there myself when I get to Las Vegas. And like I told you before, when we were talking earlier, I mentioned I want to come out next spring. So I definitely want to get out there and see it.
Well, can't wait to have you here.
Great. Anyway, I got a few questions for you.
Okay.
And I'm sure other people would be interested in finding out these same things, and that's why I thought I'd ask you. So, why was the Springs Preserve created in the first place?
Well, the actual site of the Springs Preserve is known as the birthplace of Las Vegas, and thousands of years ago, this was the site of water here, of underground water, and they bubbled up, and it was really quite an oasis. So you look at Las Vegas today, and it's a very much a desert environment, but at one time, it was a very lush environment. So the site is actually a National Historic Site. It was named that in 1978, and about 10 years ago, a group of community leaders got together and began thinking about what to do with this 180 acres, and this is what has now become the Springs Preserve.
Oh, that sounds great. I read somewhere that it was a Mexican fellow, was an explorer or a merchant or something, had found it and discovered it and named it. Is that...
Well, you know, it was first settled by Mormon settlers in the mid-1800s, and then later traveling the old Spanish Trail. But even 5,000 years ago, Native Americans were traveling through would use this as a stopping ground to replenish themselves and as they moved on. So it's seen quite a bit of human life over the years.
That's fascinating. I've always been interested in history.
You know, yeah, it is pretty fascinating.
So what are some of the things that people can do at the Springs Preserve?
Well, it's really a full-day activity. I mean, you can make it a few hours or you can make it a full day, but we recommend a full day because to take in everything that you can see, you just don't want to rush yourself. There's both indoor and outdoor activities, and beginning with the indoor activities, we have over 100 interactive exhibits focus on the early history of Las Vegas all the way up into the last century of Las Vegas, and focusing on also the animals that live in the Mojave Desert. So 25 live animal exhibits for people to check out, including a gray fox and bats and cottontail rabbits, Gila monsters, and all kinds of little creepy crawly critters like black widows and brown recluse spiders. And so that's in the Origin Experience is one of our galleries where you'll find that. And then we also have another indoor gallery called the Desert Living Center that has actually several galleries that have exhibits in there, both photographic exhibits and, again, some more interactive exhibits. So there you can find a little bit more about sustainable living in those exhibits, and you'll see a Prius car on display. You'll get to watch the Garbage Can Theater, which shows you how you can recycle, and there's a big exhibit called the Tower of Trash, which shows how much an average family produces of trash in a certain period of time, and how many of those items can be recycled. So there's just a lot of good fun stuff in there.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple things that sound really kid-friendly, like the bats. I noticed that there was a bat cave thing you can go through in the indoor exhibit, is that right?
That's absolutely correct.
Wow,
there's actually
sounds great.
Quite a few things for the kids and for all ranges of kids. We have an outdoor children's playground, so the little kids love that. It's got these gigantic replicas of animals such as a peregrine falcon, a woolly mammoth, and a sidewinder snake, so there's all kinds of fun things that they can crawl on. And we have a sandbox in one of our areas also for them to play in. And then for the older children, the youth, we have an actual video arcade arcade type of environment, but they have educational video games, such as Lawn Gobbler, where it's sort of like a Pac-Man type game where you gobble up the lawn and replace it with Xeriscape or desert landscaping. So there's a bit of an educational message, but we make it fun.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, it looked like something I'd want to do even.
Yes, definitely.
I understand the Springs Preserve is going for a LEED Platinum rating, and
exactly.
I don't know what that is. Can you explain what a LEED,
well,
what the LEED rating is?
Well, LEED is an acronym for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, and it is a rating system from the U.S. Green Building Council, and it's really something that so many businesses are getting involved with because more and more people are becoming aware of sustainability and what it means to protect this earth for years to come. So what it is for the Springs Preserve, what it meant is that it's the highest level of LEED rating that we're going for. Platinum requires that we use a certain amount of building materials that are sustainable, recyclable, and that our building systems are energy efficient. So we have solar panels throughout the entire facility that generate about 70% of the power that is needed to operate this attraction, which is a fairly large attraction. We have buildings that are built from straw bale, and buildings and walls that are built from rammed earth, which is literally taking dirt from the earth and ramming it together so tightly with a type of adhesive that you sort of replace the traditional walls that you find in many places.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, so it's a lot of it, and we have recycled carpet that is made from recycled pop bottles, things like that.
No kidding. I've
yeah.
never heard that before. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's really fascinating. So the buildings themselves really truly become part of the exhibit. As you're walking around, we have these areas interpreted as well, and we've got a design lab where people can come and learn how to build their own homes or just elements of their homes with sustainable elements like recycled countertops, things like that.
Well, that's fascinating. I've always been interested in architecture. For some reason, whenever I visit a new city, I like to see the different styles of the buildings, and that really attracted me. Was especially the bale building, the building made out of straw bales. Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating.
That's really something. Yeah, I'd be interested to see how that all works together. I also noticed when I was going through your site that there's an outdoor part, an area where you could walk around. I understand that's the free area, is that right?
It absolutely is. We have 8-acre botanical gardens, and we also have a 1.8-mile trail system that will eventually increase to about 2.5 miles. On the trail system, we've left it as a natural environment as we possibly could, and we've actually even added plant life to it just to make it a little bit more lush. So on the trail system, we have what is called a cienega, which is a desert wetland.
Cienega.
Which we Pardon me?
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a Spanish name for a wetland, isn't it?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And what, at one time, this is what this land looked like. It was very lush, and it had natural desert wetlands.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, because the springs dried up in the 60s, everything else dried up around it. So we created this desert wetlands that is now kept replenished. There's several bodies of water, ponds there, and it's kept replenished from runoff water from our streets and from a flood detention basin that we actually have on site. So just recently we had a big downpouring a couple of days ago, which filled up the flood reservoir and now is continuously feeding into the cienega. So you have this very lush area out on the trails. It's a really fun place to walk.
Oh, that sounds fascinating.
And then the gardens are just fabulous. There's all kinds of different exhibits within the gardens themselves, so you can learn about container gardening, you can learn about different kinds of turf, there's palm tree gardens, there's cactus gardens, and you can learn all about drought-tolerant landscaping, which really is absolutely gorgeous and blooms beautifully and is nothing like what people think it is.
Well, that'd be important for people who live in the area or people maybe living in Utah or Arizona and in some of the more arid areas, wouldn't it be?
Absolutely. That's the whole point of the Desert Botanical Gardens is to show people how they can conserve water with these drought-tolerant types of plant, but they're actually just very gorgeous. And our community is truly catching on to it.
Great. So what would you expect to see? What kind of wildlife would you see when you're walking around those grounds?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, the living collections where we have the 25 that are actually on exhibit, when you're walking through the trails, because it's a natural environment, near the Cienega, you can see about 35 different species of birds, which were actually attracted to this area only a couple of years ago, because of the water.
Well, I was wondering that. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, before that time, there was only about 3 species of birds, and then about 4 years ago when we started construction on this and when we brought in the water, we now have 35 species of birds and some unusual ones that have breeded here, such as the ruddy duck and the black-crowned night heron and Canada geese. These normally wouldn't be breeds that you would find here, especially breeding here, but they have made their home here now at the Cienega. But you might spot a desert tortoise. There is a burrow out there that you might find a desert tortoise inside. Because it is, you know, just a real natural trail system, you might run across a snake. You know, you never know.
Right. Well, that sounds great. Well, you know what? I really do want to come out and see that place when I get to Las Vegas
next
spring.
Can't wait to have you out here.
Well, I'll make sure to let you know when the date is. I haven't figured it out exactly when that date is, but I'll certainly let you know, Allison.
That sounds great.
Well, thanks for your time. I do
All
appreciate
right.
that.
Thank you very much.
All right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So that wraps up another edition of the Las Vegas Hotel Sleuth. That's me, Dwayne Berlin, digging up great information on things to do and places to see. And if you want to find out more about Las Vegas and how to make your vacation extra special and want to follow along with what I'm doing, go to my website. That's LasVegasHotelAdvice.com. Thanks for listening.